All right, what's up, everybody? It's Tobin's Fight Show here with you as we do our, you know, post 7-9 of the ticket era. Like I said, I was going to bring you guys recaps and all that stuff still on the YouTube page and the Tobin's Fight Show podcast feed. No longer doing the Sunday morning thing. You guys can now catch me if you guys want to on the weekends. BetQL Network, 5 to 7 p.m. on twitch.tv/BetQL or on the Odyssey app, BetQL Network. And subscribe to the podcast as well. We got some fun stuff coming up ahead in 2022. Very excited. But tonight was very much the end of 2021 as Jake Paul, he rang out the new year with a thudding overhand right to knock out Tyron Woodley, a flatliner for the former UFC welterweight champion in their rematch. Took it on short notice. This was supposed to be Tommy Fury versus Jake Paul, which I was very bummed about. You know, I wasn't that pumped about the rematch between Tyron Woodley. I actually thought Logan Paul had the best line after their first fight where he says, "You're old news, fam." Like, I thought, all right, that's kind of behind us. Wasn't a great fight. I did think that Jake Paul won the decision, and I thought he was going to win this decision. I did think that he was going to win this decision, but on my new show on BetQL, Tapped Out with my co-host Sean Levine, we were going over some of the odds, and we were talking to Sean was asking, because I said I thought Jake Paul by decision, but he was saying Tyron Woodley getting knocked out somewhere in the fifth, sixth round. Which, shout out to my guy Sean, he was spot on that. I dismissed this completely.
Okay, Brandon, what if the only bit of information that you knew is that somebody gets knocked out tonight? Are you telling me it's more likely to be Jake Paul than Tyron Woodley?
Oh, 100%.
Okay, yeah. And the odds agree with me once again, BT, down there in Miami, that he's a plus 340 for a reason. And oh, look, Jake Paul, if he knocks him out, it's only a plus 220. So Vegas tends to
agree. What else he got going? Who's supporting? Who's throwing their money on Jake Paul? You know, a bunch of tweens? Like, get out of here. I've covered way too much of these guys' fights already. I'm in the game. I own it. But he's going to flatline Tyron Woodley? Come on.
Sometimes you have bad takes. Sometimes you have freezing cold takes. Sometimes you have a golden sombrero, swing and a miss. And Jake Paul, he did what I didn't think he had a shot to do, which was flatline the former UFC champ. It's not that I didn't think Jake Paul was going to win. I think that he was cut more of the boxing cloth. And everybody who watches Tyron Woodley is frustrated with the idea that he doesn't throw punches in bunches, that he doesn't get more aggressive, especially with that crazy atomic bomb. We were talking about this. You know, it's like you watch Derek Lewis tonight in the UFC, where you know what Derek Lewis is going to do. You know what his plans are. He knows what his God-given gift is. It's that right hand. And everybody's talking about, Chris Daukaus, the speed, the volume punching. And Derek Lewis is like, no, player. I'm going to knock your ass out first round. You're not going to build your name off of me, which was great to see. But I also was crediting Tyron's durability. I realized that Jake Paul's much bigger than him, naturally. But, you know, I did think that, you know, Tyron would be able to take his best shot. I didn't think that he was going to run into anything stupid or leave himself open for anything crazy like Jake was able to hit him with. And that's a credit to Jake Paul. You know, this was not a great fight up until this point. It was very boring. I honestly was like, man, should I just like bail on this thing? It was such a hug fest between the two of them. Really, really bad. You know, but Jake, you got to give him credit. I mean, like, he did weather, first of all, he had a nasty cut on his head, which is something that he had to deal with for the first time. Tyron Woodley was getting frustrated with the holding, so dump trucked him at one point. Which, you know, I mean, there were some really dirty tactics in the match tonight between him with Darren Williams and Frank Gore. Where Darren Williams is a dirty fighter. I'm just gonna say that. I'm gonna defend my guy Frank, who did lose the fight. I mean, lose the fight. It was a 4-round fight. But I thought the knockdown was BS. I thought that all the dirty tactics that he was doing were BS. You know, just I thought that Darren Williams fought like a dirty fighter. And honestly, I thought he had the best punches of the fight. Like, his overhand straight right was his straight right down the pipe was long, got some good contact on it. He did leave himself open for some counter shots. I thought Frank had the better jab in the fight. But, you know, I might be done watching professional athletes go out there and try and get themselves into the boxing game. So I was dead wrong on this. It was from the idea that I didn't think that Jake Paul had a chance to knock out Tyron Woodley, man, especially like that. I didn't think that he was going to he did him worse than Nate Robinson, did him worse than Ben Askren, did him worse than Annie Easton Gibb. I was at that fight, ringside. I've been covering the Jake Paul beat for a while now. I didn't think that he had a chance to do that against Tyron Woodley. I was stunned, shocked, flummoxed. And look, man, this is the reality with this guy. Like, it couldn't have gone better for him. He got the viral moment that I think the last fight didn't have. I think that for me, going into this Tyron Woodley rematch, I wasn't into the rematch, even though it was on short notice. I know that wasn't the pre-fight, but I wasn't into it. I was like, it wasn't that great a fight the last time. And this one wasn't a very great fight at all. But Jake Paul, being the guy that he is, he got the moment. He's the king of the internet. And he got a moment that is going to be shared around the internet, left and right, all over the place. I mean, what's next for him? You know, whatever is viable to do and available to do. All this call out of the UFC guys, I don't think Dana White's biting on that. He's not going to let Jorge Masvidal, Nate Diaz, Kamaru Usman, all these call outs, you know, he is not going to get those guys. Do they go back to the well of Tommy Fury? I think so. I still think that storyline of him having to beat a boxer has interest. I also think that the idea that Tyson Fury was getting more into it is a big deal. Now, the question is going to be from Tommy Fury. Like, look, you see him do that to Tyron Woodley. You know, got a couple good shots in. Do you get sketched off? Do you go away and say, I don't want to become a meme. I don't want that. Do you come back when you're a little bit more experienced? These are now legit questions because, you know, especially for fighters that will have a career left. For Tyron, he kind of lucks out. He got to hit the payday twice. He suffered some embarrassment just like Ben Askren did, but what does it mean? Like, his career wasn't going anywhere anyway, unless like he ends up with Eagle FC or something like that. There's really not a place for him to go. For Jake, I think that makes a lot of sense. I saw Le'Veon Bell came out. He wants to get in on the game. Again, I think pro athletes boxing, I think I'm out on it now. Jake Paul, though, he continues to entertain. He continues to put these viral moments together. You got to give him some credit in that regard. I thought Amanda Serrano had a really great showing today. It is really cool what he's doing for her, and she was tweeting today. She's officially a millionaire. So that's really cool seeing him uplift a boxer with great credentials and giving her some of the just due that she deserves for being as great as she is. I don't know what the next move is for him. He's mentioned Canelo, doubt it. Floyd Mayweather, kind of been there, done that with his brother. Mike Tyson, he's ancient. I'm not really into that either. I don't really know what the obvious path is there yet. I think that probably in going towards the Tommy Fury thing again, because he spent a lot of this promotion mocking Tommy Fury. It felt like it was, you know, all building up for that. And I think especially having Tyson there will make it a kind of festive, fun thing. But yeah, man, it's the show goes on. Like, it's like Wolf of Wall Street, you know. He's not going anywhere. He's still here to be part of our lives here in the fight game for a while. And as you know, it's a love hate thing. Like, look, you wish that as a fight fan, like, this wasn't the thing that draws the most interest, but it does. It gets the most interest, the most controversy, all that type of stuff. I don't really like, I'm not one of these guys with Jake either, where I'm like dying for him to fight a real boxer. He's very early in his career. This was his fifth fight. But if he fights an interesting UFC guy as opposed to rando boxer, I'm in. I'm like, I'm cool to see it. It's just that for the idea of him being in this, this that he has to prove himself against a boxer, you guys are kind of missing the point. Like, Jake Paul is not here to be the best boxer on the planet. It's to make the most money and to go and put on these shows that people will tune into to watch him lose. And they don't want to see him get his socks boxed off. We saw that. We saw Floyd Mayweather versus his brother. It wasn't very entertaining. So you've seen a Paul brother versus the best boxing has to offer with a great size discrepancy. It wasn't fun. What we're there to see is we want to see either Jake Paul get a viral knockout or Jake Paul to be knocked out. That's what this is all for. This is not here to see if the Paul brothers have the skills to be the next Chocolatito Gonzalez or the next Canelo Alvarez or Terrence Crawford. This is not what we're here to see. We are here for a bit of a freak show, and he is delivering tenfold on all of that. I thought there was no shot in hell he could do what he did tonight. Not that I didn't think that he was going to get a win. I picked him to win. I had him and Derek Lewis in a parlay. Derek Lewis by knockout, Jake Paul to win. I didn't think that Jake Paul was going to be able to deliver the viral moment we were all hoping for, and yet he has gone in there. He has had five professional fights. Three of them have been sensationally viral, and I mean, you know, people can sit here, they can cry about him not facing a boxer. They can sit here and cry, oh, they think it was a fix. It wasn't a fix. You know, you saw Errol Helwani's tweets like, dude, Woodley didn't even know what the hell happened. He was distraught when he found out that he had been turned into the internet's next joke. But for Jake, it becomes an interesting thing from the standpoint of, like, yes, he is one of the biggest names now in combat sports. The interesting thing is, though, like, what does he mean for boxing, the shine on the boxing? I see a lot of boxing reporters kind of putting this out there. To me, the more fascinating thing is this war with the UFC, you know, because this really isn't a war with boxing. Like, yeah, he had with Tommy Fury and all that type of stuff, but for the most part, his rivalries have been with Dana White, A1 number one, and with UFC guys. You know, it even goes back to even starting back with MMA guys with Dylan Danis. That's like the first fighter I remember him really beefing with. And now it's kind of gone towards Masvidal or Nate Diaz or Kamaru Usman or whoever the next guy is. That has honestly been the more fascinating storyline. I don't really know what that does for boxing from, like, this idea, oh, this will generate a lot of boxing fans. I don't know if it will. I think tonight was a good night for somebody like Amanda Serrano. I think more boxers should probably try their hardest to get on Jake Paul cards. I don't know if that means that you have to sign with him, but, you know, for someone like George Kambosos, who is the lightweight champion of the world, like, could his next fight be the co-main to, you know, as the lightweight champion? It may be a bit unorthodox because he's the man, but, you know, parlay that career-wise, parlay that idea of, hey, you go out there, you beat Teofimo Lopez, and now you generate, hey, you have a championship fight on a Jake Paul card, something like that. It doesn't necessarily have to be him. It could be a Ryan Garcia, somebody like that. One of these young stars, I feel like, should take the Amanda Serrano route to get more of a benefit for boxing. Because right now it feels like more of it is Jake Paul versus UFC guys who are trying to show that they're tougher than Jake Paul. And hasn't worked out for him so far. I would give you, he is picked... He picked Tyron Woodley a bit by, you know, desperation because Tommy Fury got hurt and sick. So not really knocking him for taking on Tyron Woodley on short notice. He wanted the event to keep going. But, for anybody, I think that what he needs in his next fight is more of an element that he can lose and a little bit more of interest drummed up in the fight lead up because, you know, there were buzz that this didn't sell as well in Tampa. I thought it should have been down here in Miami, quite frankly. So I think that he needs an angle that will sell a little bit better, that will have the pre-fight build-up to be a little bit more interesting. But look, you can't get a better post-fight follow-up than that because that got way, you know, with having maybe a more lackluster lead-up, the payoff from this last fight probably a gazillion times better than it was having the better lead-up the last time with Tyron Woodley, but having a bit of a dud of a fight. So it's you know, love it or hate it, it is still Jake Paul's world, and we're all just kind of living in it right now. The dude got it done, and credit to him. I was way off on it. I didn't think that he could flatline Tyron Woodley. I scoffed at it, and he sent him into a next dimension. So we'll just continue following the circus and see where the clown car ends up next, man. It's an interesting one for sure. As far as last night was concerned, I will mention also Derek Lewis getting his knockout over Chris Daukaus. Awesome from Derek Lewis. Dude is the best. He goes and knocks people out. He has the most hilarious interviews. You know, him yesterday coming out and saying that he's done with 5-round fights and he wants a title fight again, but he only wants it to be a 3-round fight. How do you not love the guy? He's the best. And you know, it's how I saw it going. Look, I thought that they've tried to do this to Derek before, putting the prospect in front of him to make their name off of him, to think that he's a simple guy to figure out. You get through him, you're in line for the title, you'll be a contender, and he's obliterated him. He's only really looked bad in a couple of fights recently. One was against Ciryl Gane, who's, you know, dicing up everybody right now. He is a stylistic nightmare for a lot of people. And then, of course, to Daniel Cormier, who was, you know, a great champ and a Hall of Famer. So there's no shame in that game from Derek Lewis. As far as the co-main event, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson losing to Bilal Muhammad. Bilal Muhammad did, you know, I would say was a more entertaining version of him. He's not always the most entertaining fighter in the world, but I do think that we're seeing, you know, a bit of the demise of Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. You saw a great rivalry between Stephen Wonderboy Thompson and Tyron Woodley. They had two very interesting championship fights, very close championship fights. And Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, a longtime welterweight contender. I think what we saw was that kind of era close. The, you know, Woodley, Wonderboy, Maya, Lawler, like these guys are old now, man. That whole guard is gone right now. And I think that Bilal Muhammad, that young 30s, still hungry. His claim about fighting Kamaru Usman, look, I don't think that he's there yet. He does have a great win streak, but I think that this one, you know, this was the one that he really needed. Now, I will say, credit to him, you know, he got that Wonderboy fight where I think and did it in a fashion that will get a lot of people more excited than Leon Edwards, who still really hasn't had that moment yet, even against Nate Diaz, who's a well-known name. Like, people are more talking about the fact that Nate almost won than the fact that Leon kind of dominated the fight. I think that Leon will probably end up somewhere in the title picture again. But if he doesn't, if it ends up like something wacky, like maybe Dustin Poirier cuts the line of everybody and he gets to fight Kamaru Usman or something like that, I would like to see Leon and Bilal run it back. I think that'd be a great, great fun matchup. And finally, my guy Frank Gore, listen, man, all the best to you, man. You fought your ass off. I feel bad that that dirty shot turned into a meme. Darren Williams was fighting dirty that entire time. He's one and done. Frank wants that smoke again. I like to see Frank back in there, maybe with somebody who's a little bit more his size, more stature, I should say. You know, I'm not asking for Frank to cut the cruiserweight, but I think it would be interesting to go out there and see Frank against somebody who is, not as freakish, not as huge a size discrepancy. Somebody's a little bit more comfortable with it. And honestly, man, I'll tell you what, Darren Williams fought rough and tumble. He fought, dare I say, dirty. I think he fought like he fought with some dirty tactics. You know, at one point, Frank Gore, he got thrown out of the ring. He landed on a camera. Maybe he was going to call the fight. And he powered through, obviously exhausted after it. But Frank still wants to go. Darren Williams says that he was done. Frank Gore wants to keep doing this. So we'll see what happens. But shout out to him. And yeah, I think the last thing to kind of hit on, you know, as far as like the fallout's concerned with Jake, you know, Masvidal put out a video today saying that he wants Jake to come over to the UFC. And because, you know, he said that, you know, you can't afford me, which I don't know if he can or not. I don't think that Dana's going to lend out Jorge Masvidal to Jake Paul in a promotional thing. Jake did say this week 100% he wants to fight MMA. Like, look, if the idea is, hey, go to have a mixed martial arts fight, make a gazillion dollars, I think Jake would do it. I just think that feels like that rivalry with Dana White's a little bit too crazy right now that they would ever consider it. But listen, Dana White let CM Punk fight in an octagon. It's not beneath the UFC to let Jake Paul fight UFC. I just have high doubts. I think that he's going to let this gravy train roll for a while. He'll find the right kind of matchup. He'll find the right kind of guy. And all this will probably lead to, them beefing in the fight lead up. He'll be talking about them. He'll poke the bear and all that type of stuff. And, you know, we can sit here. We can say, hey, fight a boxer. You get your ass kicked in the UFC. All these things that he's not doing. Like, I just think you're missing the point of it. Like, the whole point of this is not for him to prove right now that he's the best fighter in the world. The proof is, can he get enough people to believe that somebody can beat him? It's a lot like the Mayweather tactic was late in his career. Can you get a guy that enough people will get behind to think they can beat Floyd Mayweather? Jake Paul's using that formula. It just so happens that, I mean, he's having entertaining knockouts in his fight, not, you know, boxing somebody's socks off. They're different strokes for different folks, man. So that's a recap of this, everybody. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you on the regular show, morning show, on Monday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.